Welcome to the Interior Health Nursing Grand Rounds, a podcast conversation. I am your host, Allison Thomas, and on this podcast, we talk all things nursing and healthcare. I work as the clinical nurse specialist in the Trauma Services Network in Interior Health. Interior Health would like to recognize and acknowledge the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Dakal Dene, Tanaha, Ingla Katma, Shawepam, Statliam, Sioux, and Chicoltean nations, where we live, learn, collaborate, and work together. I am so thrilled to be able to introduce you to my colleague and my new friend, Suzanne. So Suzanne, can you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your nursing background?
Hi, thanks Allison for having me. My name is Suzanne Chenoweth, and I am the clinical nurse specialist with the Stroke Network in Interior Health. I'm fairly new to this role. I just started in this position in late October of 2024. But my background in nursing is I've been a nurse for 28 years. I find that surprising to say sometimes. And I feel like I have many years ahead of me because I love being a nurse and I love the profession of nursing. I worked in the States originally when I got out of school and spent 17 years working in New Hampshire and Maine. And then when I had my kids, came back to Canada in 2012 when Kelowna was starting the open heart surgery program. My background has been specifically in cardiology for the majority of my career, but I also worked in a small community hospital and was able to run a little cardiac rehab and chronic disease management program and really got to work in the community as a member of the community and the healthcare system. And prior to coming into this role, I worked at Okanagan College teaching in the Bachelor of Science in Nursing program. And we were in affiliation with UBC Okanagan, so it was the same curriculum. And I had the honor of teaching in that program for 9 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you come with a beautiful nursing background. And maybe this is the right time for us to both say Happy Nurses Week to each other and to our listeners. And just I think I can speak on your behalf, Sue, that we both deeply appreciate the work that's being done in our region by nurses, and our hope is to encourage them in their work and support them however we can. So that's exciting. It's exciting that this lands on Nursing Week. So let's start at the beginning. You've very generously agreed to come on and talk a little bit about the Watson Caring Science Institute. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us what it is, and maybe how you kind of found your way into this little niche world.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really talk about that in my introduction. So a Caritas coach trained by the Watson Caring Science Institute, and I'm actually have just recently been able to join their faculty and teach a program called the Caritas Coach Education Program. So the Watson Caring Science Institute is a nonprofit organization that advances the philosophies and theories of caring science, which was developed by Jean Watson. So many of us would have learned about Jean Watson in our nursing school. She's been a nursing theorist since the 70s. And I am currently working with her and that organization. So I feel very lucky and honored to be in learning this theory and grounding my nursing practice in it. So I wanted to share with you what this means to my nursing practice and the opportunities that it can bring forward to keep your nursing practice at your heart. And so that for all the nurses out there, if you're a little bit lost in your practice or not quite where you initially thought you'd be, this is a way to get yourself back to why you entered the profession and perhaps help you stay in it for years and years to come.
Amazing.
Yeah, so the theory of caring science, many of you would have learned about it in nursing school, but it's a theory, and remember, theories have been tried and tested, and so the outcomes are consistent when used. And so what this theory can do, you know, when we're translating it to practice, is that it can actually be a framework or a professional practice model that you can ground your nursing practice in. And organizations that have embedded it into nursing, into the system as their professional framework, there's plenty of literature to prove that it can improve patient care, reduce burnout, and promote overall well-being in both the practitioner and the patients. And so for me, I found this in our nursing curriculum, we used to teach a stress management and relaxation technique program through mindfulness. It was called the SMART program. So any of the UBC graduates would well know this. So we taught mindfulness as a way to help students and to bring into your practice ways to come self-aware and notice what's happening within you so that when you're in situations, you're really able to have that solid self-awareness through the practice of mindfulness, and you can make different decisions on how you react and respond. And we were teaching this in our curriculum, but then coming into the system, our system doesn't really have that set up just yet. And so when I learned about the Watson Caring Science Institute, it was actually at a conference. I spent 3 days with Jean Watson and many of the theorists that we've learned about over the years. I realized that this framework and professional practice model could ground me and hold me to be able to live through my values and help me find a place for mindfulness in the system that we work in. And to hold, it's like a support system to keep me moving in the direction that calls me to stay in nursing. And so the framework that it uses is that there's 10 Caritas processes that are basically universal truths by which we can live and work by. And the word Caritas means to honor or to to hold on to make space for would be an easier way to think about that. And so this theory and these Caritas processes are what I've been trying to, in the last couple of years, ground in my own life. And over time, it's translating into my work, and it keeps me motivated to keep going every day.
Wow, it sounds just incredible when you explain it like that, Sue. And it sounds like now would be really timely for us to be thinking about this process. So can you tell us some of the key pieces of this theory that you think that you'd like nurses to know about?
Yeah, so it's based on these 10 Caritas processes. So I'll just kind of run through them at a high level. But the very first one is to embrace the practice of loving kindness and compassion and equanimity for self and others. And the theory sort of talks about that is foundational, and you have to do that first before you have capacity to offer to others. So it's about developing your own self-care practices. Okay. The idea that you are the environment. So depending what you have going on within you, energetically, that can translate to those around you. And so being aware of what you need and how to nurture your heart and soul, and the idea of having these two personalities of I've got my work self and then my true self, that's a myth. We want you, Allison, every bit of you to be known in the workplace so that you can honor who you are day to day as a person. It really talks about being authentically present. So being able to take a moment to get rid of the busyness in our minds, and when you're entering a patient room, being ultimately present, because it's that human experience when we make eye contact with another person, when we from at a human level connect, it's being in relation with another person is what makes our work so fulfilling to both ourselves and those we serve in our work. To trust, so to be sensitive to self and others and to cultivate spiritual practices, go beyond ourselves, so to allow that space for spiritual practice in our work. To develop trusting relationships, so how do we develop trusting relationships would be how we communicate and make sure we do what we say for a patient. To forgive is to allow for the expression of positive and negative feelings.
Okay.
And that's a big one. If you think about in our system, we don't often talk about the hard things. We kind of shut those away. So how can we create spaces that allow for the expression of both positive and negative? Because it's healthy to be able to speak that way. There's ideas about forgiveness, holding space, being able to authentically listen to another person's story. And so to understand that everybody comes into relationship with another with their own sets of values and their own beliefs and their own things that happened the morning before they got to work. Creating environments that can allow for that so that we're not misinterpreted in our ways of communication. Yeah, there's ways of co-creating a healing environment at all levels. And that can be that energetic translation of maybe I come into work and I've had a rough morning getting my kids out the door. But then by taking a moment and honoring that and my coworkers knowing that I had a rough morning and authentically sending each other love and kindness, then that can really shift the day in how we work. And then one of the big ones is to assist with the basic needs of people as sacred acts. So remembering that when we're providing care, that we're touching the mind, body, and spirit of another and sustaining human dignity at all times and finding ways to ensure that can happen in our nursing practice. And then being open to allowing for miracles, like allowing what sometimes we say, oh, the universe will tell us what's happening, but just sort of being open to when you're meeting a lot of resistance, just letting things be and see what kind of unfolds on its own. These Caritas processes, there's a lot to each of them. And usually when you start digging into this, there might be one of them that really resonates with you. And that's a great place to start developing your framework for using this theory. So for myself, I've been really right now working on my own self-care and making sure that I'm taking care of myself. I'm setting boundaries. I'm being kind to myself. If I love being outside, making space for that every day, if I can.
Yeah.
And so depending what's within you, you can read these and certain things will call to you as something you want to embrace into your practice. And that's a great starting point.
Okay, Sue. So this sounds wonderful. It touches my heart. It aligns with me. And I want to know more because this sounds very nice and lovely. And some people might say a little bit woo-woo. So how do we take this theory and all these beautiful things you've told us and this dream environment that we'd be working in. Do you have any practical tips for us to embed this into our practice? How do we start doing this at the bedside with our patients and with ourselves? Do you have any tips?
Yeah, so it can feel daunting and you're right, a little bit like, are you dreaming? This isn't what we what's reality. What I want to say is when you can take a moment to become authentically present with yourself, and when you enter into a patient room with another, by making space for that to become a caring moment, you can really change how your interactions go and how you feel about your day. So an example would be doing a micro practice. So this theory isn't saying we need to have the perfect environment. You can create this environment within yourself in how you approach your day and a moment in time with another person. So we really encourage the use of a micro practice, and there are several. The first one I could offer you is the ability to stop and take a pause. So we call it a pause practice. And what that, I can walk you through one if you want as an example, but mm-hmm. it would just be to take a moment to slow down your thoughts and mm-hmm. notice what you're feeling inside yourself, mm-hmm. what you have going through your own mind, and then being able to honor what's within you and set intention for the task or the interaction you're about to have. So mm-hmm. we say when you're washing your hands, for example, you could, outside of the patient room, just stop and take an extra, we like you to wash hands for a long time. So wash your hands, but as you're washing your hands, stop and take a nice, slow, deep breath. And just take a moment to fill up your lungs and your belly with that fresh air. You can even close your eyes or lower your gaze for a moment. And then when you're ready, you could breathe out that air and just take three slow breaths in that moment. Mm-hmm. And as you take those breaths, you can begin to notice any thoughts that are going through your mind. You might also notice any physical sensations that are present, or any emotions that are present. And by noticing that, send yourself a moment of love and care and compassion. Mm-hmm. And then think about what you're going to go in the room to do and set your intention. So if you're going to go even take a blood pressure, if you mm-hmm. think about, you know, I really care about that human relationship with another, then when you take that blood pressure, you can slow yourself down and make some eye contact and just be completely present with the person as opposed to being maybe distracted and talking to someone else at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's just a micro moment. So the micro practices, the easiest one is to just integrate a pause into okay. your day. So if you were heading into an appointment with a client, you could, you know, before they come in the room, just take a pause. Mm-hmm. If you're running from meeting to meeting, you could slow down mm-hmm. and take a pause and set intention before the meeting. And with the people at the bedside, think about that person in the bed as the individual and the intention you want to give when you approach them. Mm-hmm. And so even at a really busy day, when you're just kind of running around, you can take that pause to give yourself some love and feel mm-hmm. the stability of the earth beneath you and that you're held and strong for the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds doable, I think. When I've been working with patients, I've always felt so much pressure. There are more things to get done in the day than there are minutes, and you probably have more patients than you think you can manage, and just this pressure all the time to get things done and get things done well and meet everybody's needs. And so I really like the idea. This probably tells you more about me than anything else. I like the idea that this feels like something that's within my control. It doesn't matter what kind of day I'm coming into, that I can be in control of this part of my practice, and I can make the time. I can take 10 seconds to take a pause. And so I love that. I love that it feels empowering in that way, that I can take something on myself, regardless of whatever else is happening, and I can make a shift within myself. So thanks for that, sharing that with me. That's helpful. I'm going to take that going forward. Do you have any places you'd like to direct people? So your favorite resources, if someone is thinking, oh gosh, I really want to learn more about this. This sounds like this is for me. Do you have websites or books or something to listen to? What's your favorite place?
Yeah, the Watson Caring Science Institute website really lays out what this is about. Mm-hmm. Jean Watson's books, probably many people read them in school, but mm-hmm. if you read them with fresh eyes, you might yeah. have a different perspective on the writing. We did last year, as part of the patient and family-centered care group at Kelowna General Hospital, mm-hmm. we did have a Caring Science conference that was offered.
Oh, cool.
And we shared this, and actually it was in collaboration with the UBC fourth year students, and they taught a bunch of micro practices to the group. We haven't really had another round of that, but there's certainly opportunity to, if you're interested in learning more or how can I learn about this, anyone would be welcome to reach out to me directly to just sort of talk through how this can be part of my day-to-day. And then Dean Watson talks about, they're called touchstone cards, and they are actually on the website, but they have on them the 10 Caritas processes, and they talk about a practice that we can all do every day when we're coming into relationship with others. So it talks about a practice of caring in the beginning, so you can start your day setting your intentions and, and practicing gratitude and just thinking about how you want to walk through your day. In the middle of the day, you can maybe on your lunch break, take a moment to check in with yourself and if you've been able to carry that out. And if you're in a stressful moment, it can kind of pull you back to take that breath when you need to during your day. And then at the end of the day, again, just offering gratitude and reflecting again on the practice and whether you met your intentions or how that day went. So sometimes when we set intention, you think about how would it feel to walk through the day if I'm saying I'm going to be really present today? And then how did that go for you? And if that's a value of yours that you really hold high, by you having a practice every day that you do that checks in with that can either help you walk your walk authentically, or if you're having a hard time meeting that value, maybe it gives you space to figure out what you need to fill it. Yeah, that's on the website. We did hand those cards out at the conference last year, and happy to share any resources based on this podcast.
Okay, excellent. And now maybe, I don't know if you're going to give me the same answer, but if I wanted to implement some of Dr. Watson's theory into my workplace, where would you suggest that I start?
Often, and I was guilty of this, that I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to bring caring science into interior health and all the things I'm going to do. And as I learned the theory and took the Caritas coach education program, I actually learned that this is a journey for myself. And it starts with me. And in the busyness of life, I didn't have the things that I used to do all the time that really filled my cup. And so the journey has been to make space for those things that fill my cup again. So whether that's something creative you like to do, or so it really starts from within. And if this calls to you and you're looking for something to guide you and ground you to stay true to the love of being a nurse and working in the health profession, this framework is a great place to start. And as you learn the theory, there's ways you can embrace the process. It will call to you if you're ready for it. So it really starts with self. It needs to come from the ground up. But certainly if there was on a nursing unit, a lot of people really thinking, I want my morning huddle to talk about how I'm doing today, integrating a check-in every morning. How are you? Not I'm here, but like, hey, how was your night? and how are you today? Is there anything that's holding you back from, because let's care for each other and then we have more capacity to care for others.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, you've certainly given us lots to think about. Sue, so thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time to come and share your wisdom with us. I would just like to, at this time, say thank you to the Interior Health Professional Practice Office for supporting this project, and very special thanks to Dwayne Walwin, who is our sound editor and makes this podcast run. And thank you, Sue, and happy Nurses Week to you.
Happy Nurses Week. Thank you for having me.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. We know you're busy and your time is valuable. Thank you for spending some of it with us. Thank you for your commitment to your profession and to your patients and being a part of the journey of building a culture of excellence around nursing in our health region.